Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC, New York Public Radio, this is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. This podcast is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC On Demand is supported by Open from American Express, presenting the interactive webcast event, Making a Name for Yourself. Kate and Andy Spade and Bobby Brown discuss their leap from business to brand, created by Open from American Express. Registration at openforumonline.com.
Hello, 40, 50, and older somethings. This is a ringtone made just for you. I'm Anthony DeCurtis, filling in for John Schaefer, and today on Soundcheck, Blue Note Records has just joined other jazz labels in releasing some of its classic tracks as ringtones. But will grown-ups answer the music industry's desperate call? We'll hear from an insider, an observer, and from you. How would you like to impress friends and annoy bystanders with a hip jazz ringtone? And later in the show, a new talent is emerging from the Phoenix family. But this time around, not in the movie world. Rain Phoenix, sister of actors Joaquin and River, is the lead singer and lyricist of the new psychedelic pop band Paper Cranes. They've just launched their first tour and will play live in our studio. That's all on Soundcheck right after the news.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert says he's temporarily shelving his plan to withdraw from parts of the West Bank after Israel's war with Hezbollah in Lebanon. An aide said today that Olmert was focused on northern Israel's economic recovery. Meanwhile, President Bush says Hezbollah were not winners in the war with Israel. Days after a truce took effect in the 34-day-long conflict, the president said from Camp David today, it'll take time for the world to see the true nature of Hezbollah.
First reaction, of course, of Hezbollah and its supporters is declare victory. I guess I would have done the same thing if I were them. But sometimes it takes people a while to come to this sober realization of what forces create stability and what don't. Hezbollah is a force of instability.
But Hezbollah is declaring victory after maintaining more than a month of fighting with Israeli forces that caused numerous casualties on both sides. NPR's Jamie Terabay is in Tyre, southern Lebanon, where she says numbered coffins containing the bodies of dozens of Lebanese killed in the fighting between Israel and Hezbollah were unearthed by bulldozers today from makeshift graves.
People who were either in bomb shelters or were in buildings and that were struck during the bombing. People who were rushed to hospital and died on the way. We understand that there was even one woman who died of a heart attack in their house. She was taken to the hospital, but they couldn't do anything for her. And the hospital officials, the hospital workers, dug up this area next to the port and buried all these people. And then basically once the fighting was over, they were allowed to come back and dig them up again and return them to their families and bury them in the villages.
NPR's Jamie Terabay in Tyre, Lebanon. FEMA Director David Paulison says the agency would be ready if another strong storm, such as last year's Hurricane Katrina, struck tomorrow. NPR's Allison Keyes reports.
Yet another set of recommendations for improved government performance in the wake of the storm was released today, this time from the Partnership for Public Service. But Paulison says FEMA has already developed new policies and added technology to deal with disasters.
We put a communication system in place, a protocol in place, to allow us to share information to ensure that we're going to share information from one agency to another.
Paulison acknowledges that severe communications breakdowns between the local, state, and federal governments hindered officials' response last time. He says FEMA can now register over 200,000 victims per day and says there are currently 100 buses on standby in New Orleans in case of another storm. Tens of thousands of people, mostly low income, were unable to flee New Orleans before Katrina hit last year. Allison Keyes, NPR News, Washington.
On Wall Street, the Dow is up 6 points at 11,341. From Washington, this is NPR News.
And in New York, this is 93.9 and AM 820 WNYC at 4 minutes past two. Partly sunny sky, 78 degrees in Central Park. Good afternoon, I'm Brian Zumhagen. New Jersey officials say the multi-billion-dollar Xanadu shopping and entertainment complex being built at the Meadowlands is in jeopardy. The project, headed by the Mills Corporation, is over budget, behind schedule, and the state stands to lose millions of dollars. according to Senate President Richard Cody.
The Mills Corporation signed a contract roughly about 2 years ago, pledging to sign up 200 tenants. So far, they've signed up four.
Cody is calling for a new developer to be hired. Yesterday, Governor Corzine said he's deeply troubled by the situation at the $2 billion Disney-inspired mall complex. A cook who claims he was fired by a Westchester restaurant when co-workers discovered he was a woman living as a man is protected by the state's human rights law. State Supreme Court Justice Joan Lefkowitz held that although discrimination against a transgender person is not specifically listed in the law, it is covered nonetheless. The ruling means Eric Bafong's $3 million lawsuit can go forward. The 27-year-old from White Plains was born Erica, but changed his name to Eric 7 years ago. He was fired from his job in 2005. The unemployment rate for both the city and state of New York rose in July, but the actual number of jobs has increased as well. The State Department of Labor says the city's rate went from 5.1% in June to 5.7% in July. The state numbers rose from 4.6% to 5.1% over the same period. The Labor Department says that despite the increase, private sector job growth in the city and state continued through July. Private employment in the city has grown 2.2% in the past 12 months, outpacing the national rate of 1.4%. Partly cloudy skies, highs near 85 today, lows around 70 tonight under partly cloudy skies as well. The time is 2:06.
Support for NPR comes from sitforless.com, online seller of the Herman Miller Aeron chair. All Aeron colors and configurations available on the web at sitforless.com.
This is Soundcheck at 93.9 WNYC and online at WNYC.org. I'm Anthony DeCurtis, a contributing editor at Rolling Stone. I'm sitting in for John Schaefer. For teens, there's probably no better way to define their personal style than by the sound of their cell phones. In the background, of course, you're listening to Sexy Love by Neo. But if that doesn't work for you, here's another popular choice. Discerning listeners, of course, will know that's Bubba Sparxxx and Miss New Booty. But maybe you're in the mood for something different. Thelonious Monk, straight, no chaser. While the top-selling ringtones may appeal to the younger crowd, we've been wondering, are ringtones for grown-ups too? Folks at Blue Note Records certainly hope so. They've recently joined two other major jazz labels in releasing some of their classic jazz tracks in the form of ringtones. But will jazz fans answer the call? In a moment, we'll open the phones to find out just what you've got to say. Do ringtones appeal to an older set? Do you feel the need to musically personalize your mobile phone? And how much does your ringtone define your style? I mean, has a revealing ringtone, scuttled your date, embarrassed you in front of that person you were trying to impress? Or does the sound of Miles Davis coming from your cell phone seem stylish? Or perhaps it seems sacrilegious? Right now, we're joined by Zach Hockepel, the general manager for Blue Note Records, and Bill Wordy, deputy editor of Billboard magazine, which tracks the charts for ringtone sales. Thanks for joining us, gentlemen.
Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah, glad to be here.
Bill, let's start with you. Can Thelonious Monk compete with Super Mario Brothers, who are, I guess, currently at the top of your ringtone charts?
Yeah, well, actually, it's interesting. I mean, the short answer is absolutely. It's still early days for jazz labels. It's still early days for classical music in the ringtone space. But every indication is that, if you put this content out there in these forms, you're going to find people to buy them.
So the sense is that older people with cell phones are going to be as interested in this as teens have been.
Well, I think as interested it might be a little bit of a stretch, but yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's fun and people like to express themselves. I mean, a lot of times, I think the ringtone is sort of its own property. You shouldn't look at it as like a digital track or a song purchase. It's really about personalization.
Is there? Do we have any?
Well, what are the numbers at this point? Do we know who's buying ringtones and demographically or age-wise?
It's still relatively, in terms of tracking who's buying them, it's still relatively early going. You can gather this and that from looking at sort of what's selling. So earlier in the summer, the RIAA, for example, created a platinum and gold certification system for ringtones. Now, that in itself is really sort of a coming-of-age moment for the platform. And if you look at what they initially launched with, or when they announced this, they had roughly 130 gold and platinum and multi-platinum ringtones announced. And of that 130, almost all of them, except for I think three or four, were current hip-hop or pop music. Mostly,
yeah, I was just about to say. I mean, it seems to me to be, at least just in my own personal experience, walking the streets of New York or just around friends or relatives.
Yeah.
Largely, my adult friends don't tend to have them, whereas kids universally seem to have them.
Well, this is the thing. It really is early going. Right now, I would say, I think the most current studies I've seen are that about 85% of 13 to 54-year-olds have mobile phones. So almost everyone has a mobile phone. And of that, and we don't know which percentage, but you can kind of guess from the charts, about a third buy ringtones. But again, it's just so early. I mean, you're looking at a great company like Blue Note that is just sort of getting into this game. You're looking at Boozy.com, which is a classical music publisher, again, earlier this summer, just getting into the game. And so I think the more these options are out there and the more comfortable people become with their phones and how to use them, you're certainly going to see those numbers rise.
Zach, why don't you tell us, obviously, what Bill has been outlining, must sound like music to your ears. The U.S. ringtone market is growing. I guess it's $600 million this year. Are ringtones, a great hope for jazz labels?
Well, I think it's just, it's the kind of thing where if we're not in the space, then there's no hope at all. It's the kind of thing where can we compete with Ms. New Booty? No, not like directly, but the same. We're not going to sell as many Lou Donaldson Alligator Boogaloo records as Bubba Sparks is going to sell either. So, in comparison, there is an audience for these things. I think that there are something like 200 million phones or something like that in the United States. And people do want to use them every much as, I think it's just been, while the new adapters, the younger kids, are a little quicker to figure this stuff out, I know lots of people that I, am friendly with in their 30s and 40s and 50s who are starting to figure out that playing with this stuff is kind of fun. And it's not, such a crazy thing. And the fact that it isn't all just hip-hop and video game and TV themes and things like that, that there might be actually something that they wouldn't mind having come through that won't be as obnoxious, or it will actually portray their personality. So, we're not betting the house on this as being what saves the day or anything like that, but it's some place where we just feel like, we have to be the same way that we're in any record store or on iTunes or in Amazon or something like that.
Yeah, you're listening to SoundCloud.
It's really worth noting, too, in the early days of the digital music space, everyone was like, this is just going to be for the kids. And then slowly but surely, you really started to see niche genre, whether it was classical or jazz, really start to climb up the charts. And now a lot of classical and jazz labels, they sell a higher percentage of their music online and in a digital format than other genres.
Totally.
You're listening to Soundcheck. I'm Anthony DeCurtis, sitting in for John Schaefer. We're speaking with Bill Wardy from Billboard Magazine and Zach Hockapel from Blue Note Records, and we're talking about ringtones and their possible application to older music fans. Zach, Blue Note obviously has a tremendous and legendary jazz catalog, and you've chosen the best of blue tones. How did you go about selecting these?
It was kind of a list where I think a couple of folks here just did it relatively arbitrarily. I mean, it's basically picking from the records that are the most revered, not always the best-selling records. And it's the kind of thing where this is only the first salvo. I mean, obviously after we chose these specific tracks, everyone said, why didn't you do that one? And, this one has a much better riff. And that, I think that's people, I think next time when we do it, we're going to pick ones that actually lend themselves even better as actual ringtones. They might be less known tunes, but just sound cooler or better coming out of your phone. But mostly these were done as the songs that the sort of arbitrary bunch of folks decided, like, this would be cool, this is the song that everybody loves, and this is like the best known, you know, snatch and stuff like that. So,
well, let's hear some of them. Let's start, you know, we were listening to Thelonious Monk before. Let's listen to Straight No Chaser as a ringtone. We also have Ornette Coleman, Broadway Blues. And we've got Miles Davis, Move. And we've got Blue Mitchell. You Soundcheck listeners out there, if you like any of those, or if those make you a little crazy and it seems a little outrageous, you know, why don't you give us a call one way or the other? We're at 212-264-7483. That's 212-264-7483. You can also email us at soundcheck@wnyc.org. Billboard's adding a new chart to its roster measuring master tones. So instead of the instrumental version of a hit, or we get the actual song, the original version.
That's right.
How much of the ringtone market is heading in this direction? And, you know, what are developments like on that front?
Well, I think most people are pretty keen to do it. At the end of the day, it just sounds much cooler to hear the actual song than sort of the bleepy, bloopy polyphonic version of a ringtone. It's hard to say with any great accuracy how that market looks right now, but from talking to folks at labels, it seems pretty clear that, you know, well over half, maybe even two-thirds of what's being sold is really in the master tone at this point.
Zach, is there any evidence that do ringtones, beyond, you know, their own their own significance as a potential commercial force, do they help sell music?
Well, I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, we've only had these available for a few weeks. I can't say that we've had a huge burst of Monk sales from our ringtones being available. But, I mean, every little bit helps. And it's not something that we expect is going to light a fuse, and all of a sudden we're going to be selling, you know, thousands of copies of these albums rather than hundreds a week. But you know, if it adds one more piece of conversation where somebody says, "Hey, what's that?" and they're like, "Oh, I always recognize that, but I didn't know who it was, or I didn't know what the song was," you know, maybe it'll connect one dot to another.
Bill, obviously, Billboard has been tracking this a little bit, for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any connection between ringtones and sales of music?
Well, you know, there's really two ways to answer that. One is sometimes, yes. The sort of borderline novelty hip-hop hit Laffy Taffy is the example that often gets bandied about. I mean, this was something that really, it had this very distinctive little melodic line.
Mm-hmm.
And that melodic line sort of broke, so to speak, on ringtones. And when the RAAA certified, they were one of the four to be multi-platinum. And it did, I think, spur sales and really introduce people early on. But the other thing to keep in mind is that these can be successful sales products unto themselves. The markup on this and what labels get to keep, it's pretty lucrative. You're talking about a 99-cent track for a full track on iTunes versus sometimes $2.99, $3.50 for a track on the mobile phone or a ringtone on the mobile phone. You get bundled subscription packages, so you get, you know, four or five ringtones. There's a lot of money to be made. You know, you do the math on a ringtone that sells, one or 2 million copies at $2, $3 a pop, and suddenly that's sort of a lucrative end game.
We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to open the phones to ask you, how important is the music coming from your mobile phones? Is it important to your personal style? How often do you buy a new ringtone? Do you impulse buy your ringtones? And how much do you judge other people for their ringtones? I think that's the key one. Give us a call at 212-264-7483. That's 212-264-7483. You can email us at soundcheck@wnyc.org. I'm Anthony DeCurtis, sitting in for John Schaefer. Stay with us. You're listening to Soundcheck. This is Soundcheck at 93.9 WNYC and online at WNYC.org. I'm Anthony DeCurtis, sitting in for John Schaefer. Later in the program, we'll speak with members of the Gainesville, Florida pop band Paper Cranes, who will play live in the studio. But right now, we're opening the phones to ask you, are ringtones for grown-ups too? How much do you count on your ringtones to determine your personal style? If you're a teenager, call us and let us know. How often do you change your ringtone? Do you impulse buy your ringtones? If you're a music connoisseur, does the idea of a jazz ringtone make you cringe? Or does that turn you on a bit? So give us a call, 212-264-7483. You can also email us at soundcheck@wnyc.org. So let's go to the phones. This is Carlton from Long Island. Carlton, are you there?
I am here. How are you, gentlemen?
Well, I think everybody's good.
Good to hear. just wanted to call in. Prior to maybe 10 minutes ago, the idea of having a ringtone on my phone seemed just too fad-like. You know, I'm 35 and would have never thought of it. But to hear, you know, jazz and know there's another selection out there is definitely the idea that I want to jump on. I'm like, as soon as I get off the phone with you guys, I'm going to be on the internet trying to find out.
Zach, you like the sound of that?
Man, that's fabulous.
Let me ask you, what kind of music do you like?
Generally, just a casual listener. Nowadays, I'm not really into, the Bubba Sparks as such.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, you turn on the radio, you hear it, and you listen, but to have it on your phone seems a little obnoxious to me. and for my 12- and 13-year-old nieces, but I think as an adult, this is an option, a real option, a viable option and such.
You know, you may be emboldened to know that for the most recent week, if you use the Billboard's Hot Ringtone chart, if you dip below the top 20, suddenly you start seeing all sorts of artists that people our age might not be too embarrassed to be associated with. You have got your Van Morrison, your Lynyrd Skynyrd, your Johnny Cash, your Black Sabbath is on there, Led Zeppelin.
We have a listener calling in from Nassau County who may have something to say about all this. Frank? Are you there?
How are you doing? Can you hear me?
Oh, I think we can hear you just fine.
Oh, okay, great. Yeah, what I did was I put a ringtone of one of my favorite jazz riffs, which is Más Que Nada by Sergio Mendes.
Yes.
And I don't think I would ever do that again, because now whenever I hear that song on the phone, I jump out of my on the radio, I jump out of my skin. I think it's my phone ringing, and I use my phone mostly for work, and it was my favorite song, and I can't listen to it anymore. It really has ruined that experience for me.
Well, Zach from Blue Note or Bill from Billboard Magazine, do we have any words of advice or consolation for Frank?
All I can say is that I'm sorry that your phone ringing brings that much pain to your life. I don't know. I mean, I hear what you're saying is that basically having your favorite song, you know, played that often in any respect might drive you nuts. I mean, that's why we picked a lot of things that are kind of, you know, very fun little interludes in the song that hopefully wouldn't do that. They're just little riffs. But I mean, I can see what you're saying that might actually kill a favorite song for you.
Let's see what Rad from Westchester has to say. Rad?
Yeah, hi, Anthony.
What?
You're doing a great job, even though I miss John.
Thank you.
I listen a lot.
Much
I'm
appreciated.
I'm a professional musician. You know, I'm 52 years old. I, you know, with all due respect, consider it another form of muzak and noise pollution in this world. You know,
ringtones?
And a little sacrilegious. I don't know how many of these artists would appreciate that they were on ringtones, the ones that are not alive. These are great things that Blue Note's doing. I'm a big fan of Blue Note Records, but, you know, and I'm all for the business part. I'm in the process now myself of getting some of my music on iTunes. But I don't know. That's what I got to say. I think it's kind of a little rude.
We're taking calls. We're at 212. Where is our number? 212-264-7483. That's 212-264-7483. Well, Zach, you know, what do you say? Are there any musicians who have or estates even who have refused to allow their music to be used for ringtones?
No, not yet. I mean, it's the kind of thing where it's at the end of the day, this is another form of income for folks that aren't necessarily, you know, flush with it. So the estates or the artists, for the most part, no artists, either living or past, and their representatives have come to us and denied the use of these things. So, I mean, as much as I can appreciate the notion of noise pollution, I think, you know, having Straight No Chaser, you know, ring out is a lot less obnoxious than most every other ringtone I can think of.
Well, let's go to Lewis from Manhattan, another musician. He has a different take. Lewis, are you there?
Yeah, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Great show, by the way.
Good.
I have to be an upright bass player. I play a lot of jazz.
You're personally upright, or you play the upright bass? Sorry. Bada-boom. Go ahead. Keep going,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, I was just curious. Is this? I have two quick questions. As far as your marketing strategy, obviously you have to really concentrate on the major cities where jazz is very popular, you know, New York, Chicago, places like that. You know, in terms of your marketing, I mean, are you guys going to be diligent in promoting this? And also, is it going to be just the, like, Coltrane, Miles, Sonny Rollins, like the more popular musicians? And if there is a musician, let's say, or a group on Blue Note that is interested but wasn't chosen, can they, in fact, inquire about it? And I mean, how does this made as far as if another artist is interested in this?
We're going to be, this is just was really our first salvo. I mean, we're going to be, first of all, going into the catalog, you know, every couple of months and offering a number, a bunch more. And then, you know, for the new artists, when new records come out, there will be ringtunes like attached to our new records as well. I mean, we actually, you know, we've just begun with promoting this. We're not going to be promoting it on a local level. We'll probably start promoting it within packages, with albums themselves, whether they be in inserts into old albums or in the artwork itself for new records.
Let's listen to some Art Blakey from Blue Note's catalog. I'm Anthony DeCurtis, and you're listening to Soundcheck. We're here with Zach Hockepel from Blue Note Records and Bill Wordy from Billboard Magazine. We're discussing ringtones and the possibility that it may be something that adults enjoy doing as well. We've got a couple of emails, you know, and you can email us at soundcheck@wnyc.org, and you can also phone us at 212-264-7483. We've got Amanda from Edison, New Jersey, who writes, I'm 17 and I've spent over $25 on ringtones. It's not about having to have the popular or the ringtone of the moment, but about picking ringtones that remind you of the caller. I have different ringtones for each of my friends that call most often, ranging from Disney songs to Billy Joel to pop songs. Well, that's pretty personalized. That's really fascinating. Once again, I'm sure music to the music industry's ears. And we have Scam 84, a you know, interesting little tag there. I'm a college student, and the bane of my existence is ringtones. I always like when people have cool, interesting ringtones. The problem is all of my favorite groups are almost impossible to find and download. So now I'm simply stuck with the Gorillaz till Verizon wises up and gets some good Velvet Underground. Okay, let's see what some of our other callers have to say. Judith, are you there? Judith? Judith, okay, we'll keep moving. Let's see. Austin from Jersey City, are you there?
Hi, Anthony.
Hey, how are you, man?
Can you hear me well?
I can hear you just fine.
Yeah, I'm going to add another contrarian take here, if I may.
Oh, please.
This conversation is slightly terrifying me.
Okay.
I think this is all in the promulgation of instilling a faux sense of creativity in people. You know, when these things go off in a bus, I don't care whose ringtone it is. You know, and if it's something that I like, less do I want to hear it. I don't want to trivialize something that I like, and I don't want to hear something bombastic. What contextual relevance does a snippet of a tune, however great or odious it is, my own subjective judgment, obviously, to something going off when you're not expecting, when you don't want it? I don't understand. It's like giving people a sense that they're being creative when there's nothing inherently creative. And
Bill Wordy from Billboard, what do you say to that?
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting. And I mean, I was thinking about this as some of the other folks called in with their questions about this too. I mean, you're seeing a difference in the way people consume music at the end of the day. And, you know, whether it's new artists who honestly do, I mean, someone had asked earlier, do artists really, you know, do they really want to do this? Now, the truth is they do, a lot of them. You know, they go into the early A&R process, the early, you know, point of conceiving of their album, and they're thinking about, well, what would be a ringtone, or how do I handle the, you know, the digital promotion or whatever. Artists are very savvy and aware, I think, of these opportunities.
I mean, what about the point that this, you know, this caller was making, that maybe it's a little pretentious? You know, you're trying to kind of score points, you know, sort of trading on, you know, the either the popularity or the hipness of whatever music you happen to put on your cell phone.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, and Zach can certainly speak to this, you don't really, you're not making any artists do this, and you're not making any customers buy this. And you could sort of apply that sort of argument to almost anything in the pop culture spectrum, right? I mean,
sure.
You know, maybe I don't like the way, you know, young artists today are shooting videos.
Yeah, what's I don't like the way some people dress. And
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's
what's on your cell phones?
I have Alligator Boogaloo, actually,
which we heard earlier.
And, you know, to speak to my own point, Anthony,
yes,
my cell phone is permanently set on vibrate.
Okay, you're just kind of like playing it, being coy with us. Let's see.
Just don't ask me what's on my iPod.
Okay. We'll ask you what you're watching on YouTube.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's see. Alex from Freeport, what's on your mind?
Hi there, guys. I'm listening to the conversation here.
Very good.
And a long-time listener to the show and a long-time music fan. I'm actually loving it. What did you guys take that out to the break before? Was that a Herbie Hancock tune? Or
Cantaloupe Island, as a matter of fact.
Cantaloupe Island. Cantaloupe Island.
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
All these years I've been mispronouncing it.
Oh, there you go.
But, no, I was just thinking, you know, I wouldn't mind having, like, Lee Morgan Sidewinder on my phone.
That's one of the ones that's available.
Is it really?
There you go.
It's true.
See, you know, Anthony, I love that exchange between Lee Morgan and Joe Henderson on that.
Zach?
Yeah. It was actually Bill. I should point out, both because I know that some artists have been calling in and then some people have been calling in lamenting I can't get their own ringtones. I'm not going to plug any particular services, but if you go to, say, Google and search for make your own ringtone,
right,
there's a phenomenal amount of opportunity out there to get the music
you really want
on your phone, to get your own
really
music
like
out
it.
There.
You know.
Let's take one more call. We've got Maria from Manhattan.
Hi, yeah. I mean, I'm really glad to hear that I can make my own ringtones, but I think you guys, you know, you're missing a terrific opportunity out there to make some money for people who like the soundtrack music from popular Bollywood films. It's really frustrating as somebody living in the U.S.
We don't have as many of those as we used to on Blue Note.
Did you say Bollywood or Hollywood?
Bollywood. Yeah. Yeah, no, because, I mean, you go to the U.K. or you go to India, obviously, and, you know, there's so many movies come out each week. They all have, you know, soundtracks. Some are better than others. But it's terribly frustrating to not be able to access those here the way you could overseas. And I think, you know, given the size of the Indian population in the U.S. also, you know, I think there'd be a potential for some money to be made there.
Sure. Well, we're a jazz record label, so we don't have so much. I mean, the phone services, I'm sure they're listening, but they'll probably get on that.
Yeah.
So, Bill and Zach, is there hope for, you know, these kind of older consumers of ringtones?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, just to go back to what we said at the beginning, it's like you're really just seeing the tip of the iceberg here. You're just seeing the, you know, the sort of iconic labels like Blue Note getting into this game. You're just seeing some of the classical, you know, scores getting out there. And, you know, you're just going to see more and more of it. You'll find more and more that you like. More and more older consumers are going to become more and more familiar with using their phone as a commerce device. And it's only something that's going to grow.
And Zach, you think Blue Note's going to be, you know, kind of getting even more aggressive in this area?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we'll widen. I mean, we're as Bill said, we've only started offering these in any kind of big way, and yeah, we're only going to get more aggressive in, as to how we let people know about it and just widen how many we have available, because folks want it, and we love the idea of phones going off and it being cool stuff.
We're going to go out listening to Lee Morgan's Sidewinder in honor of one of our callers. We'd like to thank Bill Wordy from Billboard Magazine and Zach Hockepel from Blue Note Records for joining us in that great discussion about ringtones. We encourage you to stay tuned. The Paper Cranes are going to be here, and they're going to be performing live in the studio on Soundcheck. So stay with us.
Thanks for listening to Soundcheck from WNYC, New York Public Radio. Every day we dig into what's happening in music, and you can hear everything we do and check out our other podcasts at WNYC.org or on iTunes. All of this is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org. And thanks.